Pretty soon, Kim will have no emotions whatsoever.
That's what I'm working on.
Botox, the cure for women.
It's called Xeomin?
It's called fish paralyzer.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Welcome to Stab. Welcome. Thank you for coming to Stab. We have a wonderful show for you tonight. Why? Because JoJo Lewis is here. Let him hear you. JoJo Lewis.
Well,
JoJo
hello.
Lewis.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. How are you, JoJo?
I am doing very mediocre.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you for being.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I don't know if you knew this, but you're a challenge to be around. Didn't know.
I've been told that. Thank you. Thank you.
But thank you for being on the show again.
You're welcome.
We love having you. As a crowd member and a participant. Thank you, JoJo. Thank you. With her first appearance ever on Stab, please welcome to the stage Kim Martell. Kim Martell.
Hey, everybody. Is this on? I can't tell.
Is it on? Is that?
This is just a show where women fail at using microphones.
That's what it is. It's a setup. That's what it is. It's quite a setup. I'm a character. Kim Burley, do you have a Twitter account?
I do.
Would you like to share it?
It's The Kim Martell.
The Kim Martell. Are you related to Rick Martell?
Probably not.
Okay. Who's the model? Rick Martell.
Definitely not.
He was, okay. Well, thank you. I don't know if you knew this about Kim. She's the original Jackie O. The original Jackie O. She was the first one to be Jackie O. Thank you for being here. Thanks for starting the Jackie O thing. Sitting next to you, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones back again.
Hey.
He's back again.
Sure.
Making it easy for me to book this show. he's on every show. Also, Jesse Jones, don't know if you knew this, he was an inside job. He was an inside. Was an
yeah,
inside job.
Really,
Jesse
most
Jones
of us were.
Was an inside. That's true. But Jesse, thanks for being here and bringing your computer to record the show on.
Sure. Hopefully it's working.
Thank you. Well, I'll check. Let's look. All right. Looks like it. All right. Are you guys ready to play Stab? Me too.
Sure.
All right. Okay, we're going to get louder over here. This first segment is called This Was Today Once. You guys saw it in the last show. We're going to do it again. JoJo Lewis, on this date, 1901, the College Board introduces its first standardized test, the forerunner to the SAT.
Hmm.
Also, on this date, 1943, Barry Manilow, American singer and songwriter and producer, was born.
Get out.
No. What did you do today to celebrate these events?
Well, I wanted to participate in the annual Barry Manilow Festival in Red Hook, New Jersey, as it happens every year, where people eat sweet, delicious strawberries in the shape of Barry Manilow's face, dipped in equal parts chocolate and vocal splendor. Barry. It's the kind of joke that's funny if you can see what I'm writing. I decided to see if I could book a ticket to the festival. Curiously, their website required you to pass a standardized test to gain entry. I found myself uncomfortable doing a standardized test, seeing as I am an African-American, demisexual, chaotic good 10th level paladin. And I feel that any standardized test would be unable to effectively capture or reflect my personal Barry Manilian experience. However, seeing as this was the day standardized tests were invented, I put my instinctual political correctness aside, took out my cornrows and removed my runic breastplate, and set to work. 13 questions in, when it became apparent that I didn't know anything about Barry Manilow and knew even less about the history of standardized tests, I realized that this whole scenario reeked of the kind of artifice you would only find on a barely functioning comedy podcast created by someone bred from the stock of heroin addicts.
Bling. I wish I had a...
Nevertheless, I toughed it out the entire test, and upon reaching the end, they informed me that I had no right to have a, quote, weekend in New England, unquote, or experience that, quote, New York City rhythm, unquote, and that I'd better be trying to, quote, bandstand boogie, unquote, at a, quote, Copacabana, unquote. I asked them if I was, quote, ready to take a chance again, unquote, and they said that if I were to get in, it would be an, quote, it's a miracle, unquote, and to, quote, go fuck myself, unquote. So alas, I did not get to celebrate Barry Manilow Fest this year, but maybe next year our country will progress enough that I can.
Oh, very good, JoJo. Thank you, JoJo. Thank you. Kim Martell. On this date, 1963, the United States Supreme Court rules 8-1 in Abington School District versus Shemp against requiring the reciting of Bible verses and the Lord's Prayer in public schools. Oh, you know what else? Today is International World Day to combat desertification, and drought. How'd you celebrate the aforementioned?
Well, first, I practiced saying desertification a couple of times.
There we go.
I
see.
I've never celebrated this before, but seeing as the situation in California has gotten so dire, I celebrated in the only way I knew how. I showered with my clothes on to accomplish laundry and cleaning myself at the same time. And then I stood on my neighbor's dead brown lawn screaming, "Where is your God now?" until the cops showed up.
Very good. Very good. That sounds like a fun time. Very good. You weren't as long as JoJo, but not as short as Jacqueline. So, that's good. You're right there. Jesse Jones.
Uh-huh.
I should read some stuff to you. No, on this sure. date, 1994, following the televised low-speed highway chase, O.J. Simpson is arrested for the murders of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her buddy, Ronald Goldman. Also on this date, 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrives in New York Harbor. How about it?
Well, fun fact about the Statue of Liberty, John. The piece, originally titled Liberty Enlightening the World, arrived in America from France in 350 pieces, which were then reassembled over the period of 4 months upon its arrival in the States.
Okay.
It is in honor of this fascinating bit of history and in celebration of the Buffalo Bills' second all-time leading rusher and hilarious co-star of all three Naked Gun movies, Orenthal James Simpson, that I started my celebration of this day back in February by brutally murdering a French prostitute,
okay,
hacking her to bits and storing the 351 pieces of her in the trunk of my car.
Okay.
Why 351 pieces, you may be asking? Well, obviously, I had to devour at least one piece of her so that I might absorb her soul and claim her life force as my own. And still have the necessary 350 pieces left over so that I could play out my gruesome game of cat and mouse with authorities over the following third of a year. See, every day since the middle of February, I've been driving all over, leaving little scraps of Yvonne scattered across the greater Sacramento area in cute little hand-hammered copper bowls. In an act which authorities have called grotesque, depraved, and the work of a diseased mind with no discernible motive or pattern. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. It's just the utter lack of vision and perception I've come to expect from law enforcement over the years, as if they would even bother to try putting the pieces together, they would realize that once they find my last drop-off that I made just this evening in the bathroom of Simon's across the street, you can clearly see that connecting the dots of all the locations on a map of Sacramento would perfectly create an outline in the shape of the Heisman Trophy, which Hall of Fame running back and accused double murderer O.J. Simpson himself won in 1968.
That was loud. That was really loud. Very good. Wouldn't that be weird if it was true? If we like all read the newspapers tomorrow, like, oh my God. This next segment is called Reorganization. It's pretty much a fan favorite. We call it a favorite, just to save time. Please use this existing acronym and reimagine it. One, what does it now stand for? Two, who does it now represent? Today's acronym, NAACP. NAACP. It's kind of topical, because we try to do that.
Right.
We've done NAACP a long time ago, so we're reusing it on account of that thing that happened.
Okay,
go ahead.
All right.
JoJo.
NAACP now stands for Nose, Ankle, and Collarbone Pride. Founded to fight for those of the most obscure sexual compulsion in the world, Nose, Ankle, and Collarbone Pride is the only sexual pride organization dedicated specifically towards Middle Eastern men, the Amish, and those suffering face blindness. In other words, the people most likely to pop boners at the sight of these most tertiary of erogenous zones. Our primary work is, of course, in education for the empowerment of our members. Our lectures cover topics such as toucans, the history of nature's sexiest bird, our hugely popular plus-size lovemaking workshop, Cankles Need Love Too, and of course, the TED Talk that put us on the map, Infinity Scarves, the Perfect Jizz Rag. We also produce and instruct those of our group in the latest nose, ankle, and collarbone sexual techniques, including the recently patented climax move, the Pearl Anklet, wherein the gentleman produces a stream of semen on the unclothed ankle of a woman or man, typically in a bus station or unisex bathroom. NAACP, you are not the weirdest person in the world unless you're one of us.
Very good, JoJo. JoJo. Kim Martell, what does NAACP mean to you today?
It's confusing because it actually stands for two separate acronyms.
Okay.
Which I will share with you now. The first is Nervous Alaskans Acting Cautiously Pessimistic.
Okay.
It's a support group for residents of Alaska who are concerned that Russia is going to invade, that the rest of America doesn't take them seriously, that they'll get snowed in and eaten by a bear, or that their child will get Bristol Palin pregnant, or all of the above.
It's possible.
But it can also mean...
Yeah?
Never accept any Caucasian promises. Our mission is to ensure the political, educational, social, and economic equality of the rights of all persons and to eliminate race-based discrimination. Oh, I'm sorry, that's actually just what the NAACP's mission is.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. What a coincidence. That's so strange. That's
got serious. Okay. Comedy with a message, ladies and gentlemen. Kim Martell. Yeah, you could clap for her. I would. Jesse Jones, what does NAACP mean to you, please?
I don't know. I don't often apologize before.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's not. Okay. NAACP stands for.
No.
Not all autistics crush pets.
Oh. I thought it was going to be worse. Okay.
Well, we'll see if you were right. With the recent rise in autism awareness, some of history's great works are being re-examined through more critical, paranoid eyes. For example, some have pointed to Lenny from Steinbeck's classic of Mice and Men as possibly exhibiting what we now see as signs of autism. It's with this in mind that the SPCA, in association with Scholastic Reading Club, are launching the new NAACP as an awareness campaign meant to inform parents that not all autistic children will inadvertently crush their pets with their uncontrollable autism strength. Studies have shown that less than 40% of autistic children pet straight through the skull of their kitten, mashing its adorable brains onto the top of their thighs. In fact, these same studies show that it's much more likely that your non-autistic ADHD toddler will absentmindedly tear its puppy in half, 18.6%, than a non-ADHD autistic toddler, 14.1%. So remember, it's almost perfectly mostly harmless for your precious child, ruined by the poisons of Big Pharma's vaccinations. To learn responsibility and companionship through pet ownership. Just never try to take it away from them unless you do so while running.
That was reorganization. This next segment is called the top five Google searches of. I really don't want to do this. I'm so tired of it.
How do you think we feel?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You wrote it.
This was a hot topic last night. Yes. We want to hear the top five Google searches of Rachel Dozel.
Dozel.
Okay.
Dolezal.
Dolezal.
Dozel.
Dozel.
Okay, Rachel Dozel. The top five Google searches of. We'll do one at a time, and then we'll cycle through one at a time. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Why do people care about Rachel Dolezal?
Okay. It's a fair question.
Mm. How important is the ethnicity box on the U.S. Census?
Why is it exactly, do you think, that haters gotta hate?
Okay. Token white people, comma, B-E-T.
People saying nice things about Rachel Dolezal.
When all the facts have been assembled and all available evidence has been scrutinized, who did, in fact, let the dogs out?
How the states got their races.
Dear Abby, help, my parents are embarrassing me.
What equipment does one need to enjoy an afternoon of friendly, sporting camaraderie, shooting skeet, skeet, skeet?
Fourth of five, please.
Stuff white people like.
True stories switched at birth.
911, is it or is it not, as some have said, a joke?
Inspirational quotes, comma, Tyler Perry.
Pot calls the kettle Rachel Dolezal.
If a girl of the appropriate age of consent happens to show up to wherever festivities are being held with an itty-bitty waist, as determined by popular culture's impossible standards of beauty, and a round thing in your face, what is the percentage of men, when asked specifically about said scenario, whose response thereto was to get sprung? Follow-up question, sprung versus sprained, which in this context is more grammatically correct?
Those are top five Google searches of. This next segment is called Topical Haiku Challenge. You three, please have written three haiku in regards to the following story. 10 strippers, 10 of them, arrested in Florida for breaking a local lap dance ordinance.
All right. My first one is written from the perspective of the person getting the lap dance. And it is entitled New Experiences.
Great.
I did not know that I could feel so upset to squeeze 20 titties.
Very good. Kimberly.
This is a mistake. I swear you've got the wrong girl. I will suck your dick.
First one is titled Her Invisible Box. Can't touch the stripper. Stripper can't touch you either. Expensive mime sex.
Officer, this was a normal show. Well, except that he was the pole.
Well, ain't this a bitch? See, first I was molested, now I get arrested?
Very good. A rhyming haiku.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Second one is titled, No Justice in the Champagne Room.
I don't even know what that is.
10 brave vaginas hovering above the law. Call my dick the law.
Third of three.
This is from the point of view of the defense attorney that the strippers' various money paid for. Yana. I think the question we must ask is, what is a lap dance?
Very good. That's accurate. Kim.
My final haiku is, but I'm pretty, but I'm pretty, but I'm pretty. Please don't tell my dad.
Finally, is this is actually an American sentence, technically. It's still 17 syllables. It's just a one sentence.
Okay.
It's titled, The Boners of Patriots. When lap dances are outlawed, then only outlaws will get lap dances.
That was the Topical Haiku Challenge. The show, it's still Stab. This next segment is called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles we made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. These could be any genre. Just a little behind the scenes at this moment. These film names were randomly made up by pulling excerpts out of the 2010 Sign Language Dictionary. So that's how we came up with the titles, by just randomly. Okay. Jojo, the movie that you are to have made up is called The Gymnastics of Birth. Mm. The Gymnastics of Birth.
Thank you.
Make us want to see it.
Okay. Set in rural North Dakota, The Gymnastics of Birth stars Bradley Cooper as Sticky, a plucky young afterbirth on his quest to... On his quest to make it to the Olympic Games, in this delightful animated adventure from the people who brought you Kung Fu Panda and Fritz the Cat. The central conflict of the film is that as a placenta, Sticky lacks all of the necessary bone and musculature to excel in even the most basic of gymnastic techniques. Sticky soon discovers that through the help of his best friend, a stray cat named Haroldson, voiced by Lindsay Lohan, that Sticky need only stretch himself and wrap around Haroldson completely to use Haroldson's skillful, cat-like grace to excel at both freestyle floor and pommel horse. Sticky and Haroldson manage to rise through the ranks of the underground gymnastics circuit in the backwoods of North Carolina and Virginia, until he finally gets his opportunity to compete in the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia. While walking through the Centennial Olympic Park, tragedy strikes as maniacal Eric Robert Rudolph, played by Nickelodeon alum Kel Mitchell, detonates a series of pipe bombs mixed up with masonry nails that rip Haraldson the Cat to pieces, but not before telling Sticky the true meaning of friendship. Sticky finds himself at the freestyle floor competition, and though he is completely unable to move in any capacity because he is a placenta, he manages to earn all 10s for his outrageously postmodern performance and his excellent technique in, quote, sticking the landing. In the end, Sticky earns a gold medal, only to later have it stripped from him because the woman he came from used steroids while she was pregnant. The gymnastics of birth, fun for the whole family.
Very good, JoJo. Kim Martell, the name of your movie makeup is The Tonsil Cowboy. The Tonsil Cowboy. That's right. The Tonsil Cowboy.
The Tonsil Cowboy is an art film project, which is an undergraduate senior thesis of mine. Open on barren farmland. Cameron County, Oklahoma, circa 1935. Franklin Bennett and his son are the last few remaining residents of a community that has otherwise been abandoned in favor of moving west to find prospects during the Dust Bowl in the middle of the Great Depression. As the plot progresses, you see the farmer's wavering faith in his decision to stay behind as the situation becomes increasingly dire for him and his son. Bennett recalls refusing a lowball offer on his farm just 3 years prior, an offer he would now take gladly, but is no longer there. He recalls his wife leaving with her mother for Portland, only to have their boat capsize while crossing a river and drown. Severely malnourished and weak, the son begins to complain of pain and fever. He'll need to have a tonsillectomy, or he'll die. Bennett makes the choice to abandon the farm. The title comes from the titular scene, where the cowboy explains to his son as they slowly walk away from their homestead, pulling behind them a wheelbarrow full of their few belongings, how their lives are mimicked by the agony and defeat of tonsillitis. Like tonsils, they have outgrown their usefulness. They are only ever acknowledged by their most basic needs, and their pain that they suffer fade to black.
very good. It's uplifting.
I imagine in black and white with lots of like super contemporary music.
I pictured sepia tone, but that's just, it was a Western. Okay. Very good. Very good, Kim. Jesse Jones. The name of your movie makeup is The Eagerness of Dads. The Eagerness of Dads.
Yeah.
Yep.
This took a while. I had to do a lot of digging. But if you search online, you'll actually find that The Eagerness of Dads is the title of two different documentaries. One on Netflix follows the cutthroat world of the root beer industry. Should have stopped there. The other you can actually find on Vimeo. It may have played at the same showcase as Kim's. It's an art house student film produced by Arts Institute student and trust fund recipient Kyle Holcomb. This 46-minute film consists of found footage from all of the soccer games and French horn recitals of his youth as recorded by his father. Unfortunately, his father didn't really understand technology, and every recording is of the moments just before the events and ending right as Kyle was about to start. His father would accidentally press the record button when he turned on the camera, right. And again, which stopped it right as he was
correct
thinking he was starting it. The soundtrack consists of Kyle screaming and crying at the top of his lungs while smashing his childhood instruments. interspersed with several minutes of silence and black. It's metaphor, I guess. It's a student film. I don't know. Kyle's film, The Eagerness of Dad, has received several international arts grants. And ultimately, it reunited Kyle and his father. Oh. The footage of which cannot be shown.
Very good. That was Stab. Thank you guys for coming out. One more time for JoJo, Lewis, Kim Martell, and Jesse Jones. Thank you guys for coming out. If you'd like to hear more Stab, you could go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being Stab4Gold, Stab4Gold.com. Follow us on at Stab Show Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube, all kinds of stuff. Stab was recorded here live at Luna's Cafe here in Sacramento, California. Our recording was done by Jesse Jones' computer, and all voiceover work was done by the fattest man in the world, John Alston. Don't know if you knew that. He's let himself go. All of our social media was handled by LeBron James. Wardrobes provided by Current Events. And lodging for all our guests of Stabs was provided by Disneyland. Disneyland, it's a long way away. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good night.